This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right. This will be better, inshallah. Better? Okay. I just said I don't want to, you know, cause trouble, but okay. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Of course, you know, subhanAllah, anytime we meet in the Medina of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a great virtue. And I wanted this first kind of session, not first, but first of this kind, coffee in the haram, where we bring our Dunkin' Donuts, our juices, our Cinnabon, our nuts, mashallah, to the haram, that we speak about the blessing of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And subhanAllah, we have amongst us, and perhaps you can share a few words as well, if you're comfortable. Late, inshallah. Yeah. One of our dear brothers, mashallah, he's always been very helpful when it comes to the tours in Ramadan and Umrah. One of the senior students here at the university, masters, mashallah, tabarak ar-Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor him for visiting us and helping us with our journey of knowledge. Allahumma ameen. You can hear me well enough? Kind of? All right. Maybe if you come a little bit closer to this, well, yeah, inshallah. So there were a number of things that I did want to speak about when we speak about the virtue of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. I want to speak about the unseen virtues that are felt in the sense of the concept of barakah. And I want to undo some of the misconceptions that people have with the word barakah or blessing, because there are certain things that creep into Islamic teachings, that are masquerading as Islamic teachings that need to be undone for us to understand the virtues that truly do exist in the Medina. I want to speak about the virtues that are physical in the Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them, inshallah, that we will visit tomorrow. You know, the Masjid of Quba, the Mountain of Uhud, Sayyid al-Shuhada, Hamza radiallahu anhu, and the Sahaba who gave their life so that you and I could have this faith of Islam reach us millennia later. There's also the virtue of knowledge, the virtue that is embedded in the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is where the drops of rain fell that produced this incredible foliage and forestry of Islam, that the garden of our faith, the flowers, the enjoyments that we have from the Sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, they're planted here. This is where they were seeded. This is where they grew from. And alhamdulillah, the winds carried them wherever we are, but it begins here. So that's important. And finally, I wanted to speak about how you and I can avoid causing insult to ourselves in the Medina of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because be under no illusion, your conduct here is not like your conduct outside the boundaries. So your word choice, your demeanor, your level of voice, you know, your level of voice, all of that is confined to the sanctuary of the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That fell off. Maybe that's why your earpieces. Okay, can you hear me now, Sister Rosana? Sister Rosana's like, I can hear you now. Masha'Allah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So let's speak about the unseen. SubhanAllah, you can feel something about Medina. And for many, many of you, it's your first time here. So there's this sense of quietude that you kind of absorb in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I haven't heard anybody arguing yet. I've been here a couple of, I haven't witnessed any altercations yet. They exist, but I haven't seen them. And even when they are, the moment a person says, Salli al-Nabi, Salli al-Nabi, just say Salli al-Muhammad, everyone's like, okay, I know where I am, be quiet, swallow your pride. You're with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those of us who didn't have their bags coming as we were standing inside, I know you guys were outside. We were, you know, we were laughing and we were joking and, you know, we were passing again. You're not going to like this. All right. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that this Medina, this city, is better for them if they only knew. So I want you to picture the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day he's leaving Mecca. His heart is in anguish. And he turns back and he looks at Mecca al-Mukarramah, the city of Ibrahim, the city of his family, of his birth. Even though there were so many difficulties that happened, this is the city he's leaving behind his beloved, Khadija radiallahu anha. And he looks back and, لَوْلَا أَخْرَجُونِي, had I not been forced to leave, مَا خَرَجْت, I wouldn't leave it. That Yathrib was a city that was a backwater. It was a place of illness. Aisha radiallahu in Sahih al-Bukhari, she says that when we arrived in Medina, its water was discolored. Even its water had problems. Like you dig up a well and you try to get water, even the water wasn't clean. Anybody who entered Medina got sick, including the mother of the Prophet ﷺ, including the father of the Prophet ﷺ. So his father passed away after a trade trip to Medina. His mother, who came with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam to visit her relatives in Medina, she also got sick, passed away, and is buried just outside. So this was an area that was not hospitable, not a place that people said, I can't wait to go to Yathrib. Yathrib is an ancient city. As I was mentioning on the bus, it's a little bit off the beaten track, just enough that it wasn't invaded and wasn't held for its territory. It was agricultural. It is full of water supply. It is very fertile soil because of the lava fields. And the Prophet ﷺ is the one who said, oh Allah, you allowed Ibrahim to set the boundaries of Mecca. I'm setting the boundaries of Medina between these two hara, between these two lava fields. So when we were flying over, you could see the topography change and then it became dark. And as we exit the airport and as we go towards the train, you'll see these 15 meter large lava flows, which were a natural barrier, but they make beautiful fertile soil for all of the delicious foods that are grown here. The people of Medina, as I also mentioned, are not indigenous to the Najd and to, you know, they're not from these areas. They are from Yemen and they have softer hearts. They were kinder people and they were more multi-faith. They were people who accepted Christians and Jews. They lived in a different kind of mix than what the people of Mecca had, who were all just homogenous. So Medina always stood out. And it was a city where its inhabitants, two major tribes, Al-Aws and Khazraj, always vied against each other for domination, for honor, for tradition, and so on. To the point that even with the Prophet ﷺ's presence, it took him as a person, ﷺ, as the messenger of Allah, to cause them to find the balance in how they would live equitably. I'll send you a list of the 70 shuhada of Uhud. And when you see the list of the names, what should strike out to you is all of them are named things like from Al-Aws or Al-Khazraj. There is very few in comparison from the Muhajireen, from Quraysh, who lost their life defending the Prophet ﷺ with the ferocity and love that the Ansar did, even though he was new to them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's something in this land that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it is better for them if they only knew. When the Sahaba came from Mecca, all of them got sick. Bilal was like, I can't wait to get out of here. Everyone was like, we can't stomach, we miss Mecca so much. So the Prophet made a dua, which is the reason why your heart and my heart loves this land. The Prophet ﷺ literally makes a dua and he says, "Oh Allah, habib ilayna, make it beloved to us in our heart, al-Madina, as much as Mecca, or even more so," sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there's a natural love that you and I have for the Medina of the Prophet ﷺ. And as we go to Uhud tomorrow, you will see that Uhud has a different, it has its own radiance, it has its own light, it has its own aura. There is something different about that mountain to any other mountain you will see. The Prophet says, it loves us and the believers love it. I want you to think about the capacity of an inanimate, unliving object possessing the quality of love. You know, Allah describes hearts in the Quran of the vile individuals, قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts hardened, فَهِيَ أَشَدُّ مِنَ, you know, it's even more hard and hardened than rock, than granite. So here Allah is saying this mountain has this capacity to love. So there is this spiritual aura around the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's so powerful that it extends beyond his life. That even the Dajjal, who has this power of control bestowed upon him by Allah, that he can order the sky to rain and it'll rain. He can ask the ground to vegetate and it'll vegetate, whatever technological, whatever means will bring that about. But yet that man will not be able to cross into Al-Madinah. He'll get to a point, he'll stand on a mountain and he'll look, and the Prophet says, Fayara, he will be able to see my white castle, my white palace, my, you know, my place of residence at that time from where he is, and he won't be able to arrive to it. So where you and I are seated is a protected place by the love of Allah for our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's this beautiful verse in the Quran where Allah makes two ways that our sins can be forgiven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah says that my punishment does not descend upon them while you reside amongst them, and my punishment does not descend upon them while they are asking me for forgiveness. And some of the ulama, they interpreted that of the virtues of Medina, that even the wicked here, they have this capacity to find their way back to Allah on account of them being in the vicinity of the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, of the holy person of the Rasul ﷺ. There's this grounding force that all of us seek. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to taste Al-Madinah. Who was the brother who said in Aqsa? It was Dr. Aslam. Subhanallah, he was, as you saw today, mashallah. I said to our sheikh, the imam of Aqsa, I said, look, they're there. Why don't you give them a good time? He goes, I got it. No problem. The food I had made for you, they're going to have it. I was like, all right, khair, inshallah. Because he thought we were leaving the day after. That's why he came to us for dinner. He said, they're going to have an awesome time. Because he had cooked for all of us, subhanallah. He was going to bring the food down and have a ma'id. And I said, I'm sorry, Sheikh, we're leaving. He goes, no, can't you leave at 5? I was like, 6? I was like, we're already late as it is, subhanallah. So it made me so happy. Dr. Aslam, as we were walking, he said, you know, Sheikh, I love Medina. It's so, but I have love for this place, but it's, I don't know what I said, it tastes different. And he goes, yes. It's like they're both delicious, but they're delicious in a different taste. It's called dhawq. The Prophet speaks about faith, dhaqa halawat al-iman, that you can taste sweetness for faith. It's palatable. The Medina, when you leave it, it has this taste. Even though you go to Mecca, we're going to Umrah, we're excited about other things, there's this aftertaste of generosity, of love, of beauty to the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Al-Imam Malik, those who were walking with me in the graveyard today in Al-Baqi'a, I pointed out the grave of Al-Imam Malik and his teacher, Al-Imam Nafi'. Al-Imam Malik used to not ride on an animal inside the Medina to honor the Prophet ﷺ and his masjid. So as he would get to where our gates are, he'd get off the camel. Now, it's not sunnah, because the Prophet rode his camel, ﷺ, and the Sahaba rode their ass. But it's this mubalagha in the hubb, it's this excessive love for the Prophet ﷺ. He's not asking us to do it. He's not inviting us to innovation. But in his heart, he's like, I can't understand. There's other weaker narration that says he wouldn't even wear shoes. He would walk barefoot inside the confines of the city or of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's an incredible way of looking at the due that is due to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from our love for him. Allah says and warns in the Quran, "La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi." Don't you dare elevate your voice an octave over the level of voice of the Prophet ﷺ or in his presence. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't call out to him loudly. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضِ. The way you would summon somebody else, you would say, hey, Sheikh or Yahya. You know, Muhammad ﷺ is different. And in his life and equally after his death. Umar radiallahu anhu, sitting in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, in the darkness before Fajr, men were just chit-chatting idly in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. فَأَخَذَ الدُّرَّةِ. He took his staff and he lashed him. You know, keep your voice down in the presence, in the masjid of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Some people took it to such a degree that even those who had an excuse were so terrified of this. One of the Sahaba, he had a hearing problem. And because he couldn't hear well, it meant that his voice level naturally was higher than it normally would to other people. So when this verse came down, he hid himself from the Prophet ﷺ. He just didn't show up to the masjid, just didn't, you know. And he just said, I don't want, even if, though I'm not doing it on purpose, I can't be of those who, even by mistake, I'm speaking to the Prophet ﷺ. I would rather not speak to him then do so and ruin my dunya and akhirah as a consequence of it. So think about the napkin you have in your hand. Think about some thread that's come off your clothes or something on the carpet that you leave behind. Think about a container of food that you just leave idly by. The Medina of the Prophet ﷺ should have a greater level of sacredness. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. The things that are held with sacredness on account of our belief in Allah, that those who esteem it and uphold it and magnify it, in فَإِنَّا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. It's because there's a sincerity of being and heart. I'm doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal out of duty and love for Nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, I wanted to speak about where barakah resides. You and I would not touch the ground and like wipe on ourselves and assume Medina, it's full of barakah, the Prophet ﷺ is buried nearby, that it's transferable in that sense. Most Muslims, when we see the graves near the Prophet ﷺ, we have a dua, which is the dua of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattabi used to say, Allahumma arzuqna shahadata fi sabilik wa fi madinati nabiyyik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, grant me the rank of a martyr at the moment of my death, but let it be in the city of the Prophet ﷺ. People are always puzzled. There's so much peace here. Why, you know? And subhanAllah, in the place of prayer, in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, he was assassinated by that Persian Zoroastrian, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi. And his dua was answered. The Prophet ﷺ, a man from Al-Habasha, migrated. And upon entering the Medina, after a few days, he passed away. And the Prophet said, La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship but Allah. His qadr drove him to be buried in the place he was created from. And they said, Ma hadha ya Rasulullah. That hadith, it's a Hassan hadith. What do you mean, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet said, you are buried from in the mud, in the sand, in the elements of the earth from which your elements came from. So the Prophet ﷺ's makeup is what? Is it Meccan or Medinan? He's from Medina, right? His body is it's from that soil. So who would be closest to the components of the Prophet ﷺ? It would be those who are buried nearest to him. So who's buried nearest to him? Abu Bakr and then Umar. Who's buried nearest to them? The people of Baqiyah. And that's why when you go, you're like, subhanAllah, I would love to be of the people of Baqiyah. May Allah grant us, you know, a death that is becoming the honor of being buried in Al-Baqiyah. I'm going to end shortly. You can read about it. I wrote about it, a piece called The Man Who Died in Jannah. So I was doing Umrah and I was alone. It was, you know, I don't have a group. Sometimes I sneak off and do my own thing, right? MashaAllah. And I was sitting in the Rawdah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, alhamdulillah, we're privileged to have that honor. And I'll speak about the concept of Rawdah shortly. And it was just after Salatul Fajr on Friday morning. Just after Salatul Fajr, Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And everybody, you know, when the prayer finished, this is before the Imam used to lead from the Prophet's mihrab. He used to lead from the mihrab of Uthman. And we're sitting there inside the Rawdah, myself and a few people. Everybody else was asked to leave. And we were kept behind, mashallah. And as the people are giving salam, everybody's trying to get in through the door. Oh, they're telling to the officer, please, يعني ركعتين وما بعرف إيش. The officer's like, حرك 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 يلا يا حاج يلا يا حاج. And may Allah have mercy on him, this Algerian brother, collapses right behind the mihrab, the prayer place of the Prophet ﷺ. And I'm sitting there, and right there I could see the mihrab is here, and right outside I see this man. And this man, he was making so much noise up ahead, trying to get in from the first doors. Him and his brother trying to get in, and the soldier's like, no, harrak, harrak, harrak. And he makes it to the second door, and he collapses. And those same guards who were refusing him entry to the Rawdah picked him up and brought him into the Rawdah, because there's nobody in the Rawdah. It's myself and a few other people. And I remember thinking to myself, nobody's doing CPR. Like, I know you just put the, like, nobody checked vitals, nothing. And so I know a little bit, like, I know just enough, right? So I just, you know, is there any pain? No, he's not reactive. But I could see that his eyes are not fixated. Like, there's still some life in him. And another brother, he grabbed his feet. He said, Nunashito, look, I'll just push his blood up to it, you know. So we start doing compressions. And subhanAllah, I could see him. He just looks at me. He's like, no. This isn't what's going to happen now. You could see that he's in another blessed place. And he's like, no, this isn't going to happen now. And I just look at him and something says to me, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So I say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And he goes like this. And he passes away right there inside the Rawdah of the Prophet ﷺ. And I, you know, later on when we were there, I took permission. I said, look, I want to use this as an example. I took a photo, not of his face or anything, a beautiful face. His name was Bukhari. And his brother was sitting next to him. He parle français, no English, very limited Arabic as an Algerian Arabic. You know what I mean, Sheikh? It's like Arabic makassar. Yeah, it's undefinable. And subhanAllah, that same man who was rejected from the Rawdah was carried into it. carried out of it to Sheikh al-Hudhayfi was the one who led the prayer on him in Salatul Jumu'ah. Carried out to the office of the Imams, and I followed. And as we were there, because not everybody who dies in Medina gets a place in Baqiyah. So there was a person from the people of Medina whose death was expected, and they had taken them to a hospital for advanced treatment in Riyadh. And subhanAllah, they passed away. They were going to come back and pass away. They passed away, and the family said, no, we're going to bury him there, khalas. And his grave was already dug. And Bukhari was given that grave. Like, it was just incredible. And subhanAllah, I said, I didn't do the ghusl, but I followed them as they took him. And I said, today he's going to, yeah, today. And we prayed Salatul Jumu'ah and Salatul Janazah. And this man, faceless to millions of people. Nobody, who is he? There's no recognition, no celebrity, nothing. But there's something with him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that caused him the rank of this high station. May Allah give us similar to it. Allahumma ameen. Sincerity drives you far forward. May Allah make us of those who are sincere. The Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of you know that famous hadith, and that's why you're all trying to get the bookings. Inshallah. We'll get about a 20-minute leeway. The brothers, they promise, will let you know 20 minutes before it goes live so you can choose a time where you can all go together, inshallah. I hope it's not like 2 in the morning or something when you're asleep, but I'll post it as soon as I get it, inshallah. The Rawda, the Prophet ﷺ said, between my house and my pulpit is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Al-Imam ibn Abd al-Barr, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, they say literally it will be transported to Jannah. This is their opinion. Al-Imam ibn Hajar, and what seems to make the most sense to me is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said in another hadith, if you pass by the gardens of paradise, then enjoy your fill, you know, enjoy and frolic through the gardens of paradise. And they said, O Messenger of Allah, where are these gardens of paradise on earth? He said, Hilaq al-ilm, the circles of knowledge, where the mercy of Allah descends. So where was the greatest mercy of Allah descending? It was between the Prophet leaving his home and standing on his pulpit, leading people in prayer in his masjid, teaching all of Islam in that spot. So it's a garden of paradise. There's Jannah there if you follow what was taught. Does that make sense? That's the contextual understanding of that hadith. Both understandings in the sunnah are valid. It can be. Allah's power is great. Allah says that the Nile, the Prophet ﷺ says the Nile is a river in Jannah. There's no, we don't have this concept of, oh, how can it be? What Allah wills will happen. But there's also the importance of us taking the root of knowledge as being as important and just, I pray 2 rak'ah in the Rawdah. There is no hadith that speaks about the merit of praying 2 rak'ah in the Rawdah. There's nothing. So there's no hadith where the Prophet says, the one who prays 2 rak'ah in the Rawdah, they're going to Jannah or anything like that. So if you don't get it, it's not the end of the world. And if you do, alhamdulillah, it doesn't make you better than others. Oh, I got in, you didn't, right? Because I had in Hajj 2019, one brother got in, the other didn't. He's like, oh. I was like, settle down. You don't need to beat up anyone. Oh, they didn't get in the Rawda, right? So may Allah allow us to pray in the place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. So that's kind of an introduction that I wanted to give you about the blessings of the Medina to enliven our heart. Tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to try to establish a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is on Saturday mornings, he would walk, and we're going to take the same path that he walked out to the people of Quba, to the Masjid of Quba. Now, there's important things that I want you to keep in mind. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who makes a bath or a wudu intending to pray in Masjid Quba, they will gain the reward of Umrah. Now, it doesn't mean if I break my wudu on the way that I forfeit. No. So as you are leaving here, once you're done your salah, if you want to go up, make a new wudu, if you want to make a wudu here, and I will, that's what I will do. I will actually make a wudu at one of the wudu sections here. I will freshen my wudu up, even though I have my wudu intending to make it. The literal word of the Prophet ﷺ is the one who makes it in his home. Now, I'm coming from Perth. I'm not going to go back and come back in a short enough time. So the material of that statement is in the approximation. My niyyah is I'm going to Quba, fulfilling that obligation and sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that he taught us. We're going to walk out there. You don't have to walk with us if you don't want to. The bus will leave at 7. You'll reach us there just as we're getting there, inshallah. You'll get there 7:15. We're going to get there 7:05, 7:10, 7:15, inshallah. We'll spend some time there. We'll pray 2 rak'ah. I'll speak to you about the significance of the masjid, the establishment of it, where some of the old rocks that was first built of the masjid have been buried under one of the corners. They were made as part of the foundation stone. Just some of the unique features of Quba in general. And then we'll get on the bus and head to Uhud, inshallah, before the sun gets hot and before other groups, because they'll be having breakfast while we're doing our thing, inshallah. And I will walk you through the battle from where Hamza was martyred to where he's buried, to where he was buried a second time, to where the Prophet ﷺ ascended, and you know where the cave was that he was helped to and protected by Allah Azza wa Jal. All of that, we will visualize it, inshallah, on the ground. And inshallah, it will raise our iman and love for the shuhada. Visiting the shuhada of Uhud is a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. It's one of the last actions he did before his death. Walked out to them, made istighfar for them, asked Allah for their forgiveness. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We'll get on the bus again, all of us, and we'll head towards the Khandaq, passing by a few other landmarks, inshallah, and the Sab' Masajid, the 7 places the Prophet prayed, where his tent was, and where they dug, and all of those interesting, wonderful facts. And then we'll be back at the hotel no later than 10 a.m., inshallah. It gives you an hour for breakfast and to get ourselves some energy before Salatul Dhuhr. And you have the rest of the day until Asr prayer, inshallah. After Asr, I want to walk out. I think we walked out a little bit too late today. Between Maghrib and Isha, a little bit too late. So we'll walk out to some of the landmarks and we'll do the muwajaha again, give the greeting to the Prophet ﷺ. And in the evening, we'll have an ihram session. We'll do it here again, inshallah. I'll have ihrams for the brothers. I know most of you have your own ihrams. Those who don't will have it provided for you, inshallah. I'll help you work out different ways of tying it, give a little bit about the fiqh of it, and then we'll send the brothers away, and it'll be just the sisters, inshallah. Then I'll do the sister-specific sections. And if there are questions, I'm happy to field them, or you can text them, and I'll send you voice messaging for them, inshallah. Any questions? All good? MashaAllah, Tabarak al-Rahman. All right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khayran barakah. Sheikh, would you like to welcome to that? InshaAllah. So I'll give you to my dear brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him khayran barakah. Allahumma ameen. Do you mind sitting here so that we don't move? Yeah. Akramak Allah, Habibi. Just center yourself.
Yeah, inshaAllah. Works. Hopefully I can look outside.
Ameen.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الحمد لله والصلوات الله والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize if you do have any difficulty understanding my accent. As you can tell, I'm not from Australia or the US, I'm from the UK. So I'll try to neutralize my accent as best as possible.
So we'll understand it fine.
You'll understand it fine. Yeah, yeah. That's my people. Okay. Alhamdulillah. But nonetheless, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us here from all corners of the world. And the fact that we are here right now is a testification of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before prophethood was As-Sadiq al-Amin. the truthful one, and the trustworthy person. And so even after prophethood, he was more so in his truthfulness. And when he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spoke for the present, he spoke for the future as well. And when he made a comment on an individual, on a time, or any group of people or a place, it is true for that time, and it is true for the future. And when he speaks about Medina, and when he speaks about these blessed lands, it is true for that time that he was in, and it's also true in the future. And one of the virtues, and I know Sheikh Yahya Hafidahullah alluded to some of the virtues, but one of the virtues of Medina Munawwara is mentioned in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The innal imana layarizu ila al-Madina kama ta'rizu al-hayyatu ila juhriha." Muttafaqun alayh. And we are actually living manifestations of this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he gave a beautiful analogy. You see, one of the methodologies of the prophethood of teaching was that he would give examples for us to understand. And so he said the example of Medina, he said that Iman goes back to Medina just as a snake goes back into his hole. Now this is a very beautiful hadith. Why? Because there's two points I just want to allude to. Number one, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Iman. He never said the believers. What's meant by Iman is the believers. The believers will come to Medina. And so from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even to the end of time, people will continuously be coming to Medina. But look at the prophetic analogy that he gave. He said, just as a snake goes back into its hole. Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, rahimahullah, who is two generations above me. So he's my teacher's teacher. So he gave the explanation of hadith and he said, look at that prophetic analogy. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have gave the analogy of any animal, but he gave the analogy of a snake. And what's beautiful about a snake is that a snake does not have its own hole. A snake finds a different hole, stays in it for a short while, and then goes away. Likewise, the people of Medina are constantly changing. People come from all over the world, from Australia, from the US, from Europe. They come to Medina for a short while and they go away. And this is a manifestation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. You see, if you look at the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sublime qualities, you see, there's two categories. There are those categories which can be used to refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to some degree to be used to other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Ra'uf. So Rahim and Ra'uf are perfect examples of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself... It's okay, don't worry. Don't worry.
At least it was metaphoric,
it wasn't practical. And so there are certain names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which can be applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uniquely and also to other people. Ra'uf and Rahim, these are names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, you know, as you enter, men particularly, as you enter from Bab al-Salam, you see many different forms of calligraphy. Amongst them, you'll see the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you see salat as salam upon him. So amongst the names that you see there are Ra'uf and Rahim as well. So these are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second category are those names and attributes which are unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Razzaq, the one who provides. There is no other Razzaq other than Allah. Al-Khaliq, there is no other Khaliq other than Allah. Ar-Rahman, there is no other Rahman other than Allah. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your Lord does khalq, your Lord creates. And he also chooses, he selects. This shows to us, Ibn Kathir and many other Mufassirin mention, that this shows that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in his ability to create, he subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in his ability to choose and to select. And he has chosen many different times, and he has given preference to these times. Just as we have the day of Arafah, we have Laylatul Qadr, we have Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen different times. Likewise, he subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen different places. He's chosen Makkah al-Mukarramah. He's chosen Medina Munawwara. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen these lands and made them better than other lands. Similar to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen people. And if you think about this, there is an ijma', a consensus of the scholars, every single one, from the first to the last, that Makkah and Medina are the two greatest places on earth. Yes, slight difference of which is number one, which is number two. Consensus is it is number one and number two. And if you think about this, we have the best of places, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored it with the best of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every single one of us the ability to come here. Not because we deserve it. Not because we have planned it. Not because we've taken time off our work. We've put savings aside. Many of us would have saved 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. No, these are all the means. But ultimately, this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to come here. In the presence of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what's so beautiful about coming here? Is that ultimately we come to Saudi Arabia, Makkah, Medina for what? We come for Umrah, we come for Hajj. If a person were to come to Mecca, do the Tawaf, do the Sa'i, khalas, you've done all your virtues of Umrah. If you were to come during Hajj and do your Tawaf, Sa'i, stone the Jamarat, spend time in Arafah, khalas, all of the virtues of Hajj apply to you. Your sins are forgiven, your small and your major, just as Yawmik Ya Waladat Ummu, just as the day your mother gave birth to you. But ultimately, why is it that we all come here, spend another 400 or so kilometers, another couple of days, how many thousands of dollars extra, how much extra so-called difficulty we take just to come here? Why do we do this? Out of love of that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this love is reciprocated back to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I wish to draw upon one beautiful moment in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his companions. And he said to them that I yearn for my brothers. I yearn for my brothers. And he said, the companion said, are we not your brothers? And the Prophet ﷺ replied back, you are my companions. And he says, my brothers are those who believe in me and have not yet seen me. That's me and you here right now. And the reason we come here to Medina Munawwara is out of love with the Prophet ﷺ. And just as we see Umrah as an ibadah, we see praying salah as an ibadah, we see fasting as an ibadah, having love for the Prophet ﷺ is one of the greatest ibadah that we can do. One final moment. There was a companion amongst the Prophet ﷺ companion. His name was Nu'iman. And, or some narrations, Abu Nu'iman. And he was one of those companions that was very, he had a very charismatic personality. He was very funny and he loved to do a lot of practical jokes. And every so often, he would take these practical jokes a bit too far. He'd cross the line and sometimes he would make other mistakes. And people would begin to criticize him. And upon an occasion, once a severe situation happened, which I'm not going to mention. But nonetheless, people began to scold him publicly. And they began to talk bad about him. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Da'uhu, leave him alone. For in spite of his weaknesses, in spite of his mistakes, inni la a'lamu anhu illa annahu kana yuhibbu Allah wa rasuluh." That the only thing I know about this man is that he loves Allah, he has true love for Allah, and he has true love for the Prophet ﷺ. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of His Prophet. Amen. The love of all those things which are beneficial. The love Amen. Of all those people which are beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do those acts which are most beloved to Him, at a time that's most beloved to Him, at a place that's most beloved to Him, with the people that are most beloved to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His love. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
MashaAllah. Tabarak Allah. Man, Allah barak fiqh. SubhanAllah, do you see how knowledge is so enriching, mashaAllah? Do you see, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the ranks of us in the Salihin and accept from us our time and energy and wealth that has been spent in coming here. And may Allah reward us in the dunya by meeting the likes of our brother and those who are all of generous spirit and offering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts connect with each other, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may we return back to our homes and our brother inshallah to lead his community back home in the UK to enrich them, and that we can enrich others with our experiences here together. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a good night tonight, inshallah. I know some of you may have your share of salah or whatever it may be, or you're going to the rawda. Just with regards to those who are walking out with me tomorrow, no sandals or flip-flops or loose shoes. Make sure it's something that's comfortable, inshallah, with socks. I don't want you to get blisters. Make sure that you have sunglasses or a hat or some sun protection, inshallah. And please hydrate tonight, hydrate tomorrow. I don't want you cramping up, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all khair. And I look forward to walking with you the path of the Prophet, literally, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tomorrow, to Quba, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please enjoy each other's company, inshallah. Give salam to the Sheikh and his spouse and all of those who are.